It's a special and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, Chazak, Chazak, Vinis Chazek, the last Parsha and Parshas Bereishis. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah starts off in this week's Parsha, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana Ve'hi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shanim Ve'arba'im U'mayat Shana. We know that Yaakov, this week's Parsha, he's Nifter, and he lives in Mitzrayim for 17 years. Last week's Parsha, he comes back to Mitzrayim after leaving Eretz Canaan, his homeland. And Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, Vayechi Yaakov, Lama Parsha Zustuma. Why is this Parsha closed? Why is it, there's no Parsha breaks. It's just one long story. Says Rashi, Lefisha Kevon Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu. Because once our forefather, right, the Bechir HaAvos, Yaakov Avinu, passed away, Nistamu Einayim Ulibom Shel Yisrael. The eyes and the heart of Klal Yisrael were closed. Mitzaris Hashibud. Because of the suffering of the Shibud, of the enslavement of Mitzrayim, Shetchilu L'Shabdam, for the Egyptians started to enslave them. Comes along the great Orachayim, the Orachayim HaKadosh, and he says, I don't get it. What is the connection to Yaakov Avinu being Nifter? You're right, next week's Parsha, the beginning of Parsha Shemos, we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn about the Shibud, but it takes a couple years, doesn't happen right away. So what is the connection between Yaakov being Nifter and then the suffering of Klal Yisrael with the Shibud? Then Rashi goes on, Davar Acher, Shebikesh Ligalos et HaKeitz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end of days. Libanov, Vinistam Mimenu. But it was closed off from him. Quoting, Rashi says, from Bereishis Rabbah. It's also a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Vav. Very fascinating, the Gemara. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. He was afraid that just like Abraham had one son off the derech, and we know Yitzchak had one son off the derech, Yaakov was very afraid that maybe his children, maybe there's a flaw in his 12 shvatim. And he brings them all together, says the Gemara, and he says, I'm nervous, because now that I just lost the Shechina, Nistam Imenu, I feel that there's something lacking in my children. And then all of his children, the 12 Shvatim, get together and they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then Yaakov says, Baruch Shem Kivon Machuso Liolam Va'ed. What we say every day, twice a day, in Shacharis and Maariv, Shema Yisrael, what is this give and take? What is this conversation between Yaakov and his children? Question 1b. Question 2. We know everyone's going to talk about it. Whoever talks today, whenever you hear any Divrei Torah, this week's Parsha, we know we have the story of Menashe and Ephraim. That we know Yosef's children are getting brachas. Yaakov is going, giving brachas, giving some criticism, some toichacha to the Shvatim. And we know that Yaakov Avinu switches the hands of Ephraim and Menashe. And he also, we know that we have the famous song, Hamalach Hagol Osini Kol Ra, Yivarech Es Ani Arim, right? There's so many different songs, right? Shlomi Dax has a song, and Devekis has a song, A.B. Rottenberg, right? Benny Hirschgritz, A.B. Rottenberg, right? He has a song, the famous Hamalach Hagol. So, but we know that people have the minog, most people have the minog, not everyone, that when we give the bracha to your boys on Friday night, on Shabbos, when we bring in the Shabbos, we say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayimu Kemenashe. And when we give it to the girls, right, we say, Yisimcha Elokim Kesara Rivka Rachel and Leah. And everyone asks, why? Just say, Yisimcha Elokim Ka'avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why specifically is it Ephraim and Menashe? Question 3, because we always do 3 questions. When Yaakov Avinu is giving the brachas, he says, he turns to Yosef and he says, in Perek Memches Pasukhov Beis, Vani Netati Lecho Shechem, and I gave you Shechem, Echad Alachecho, Asher Lakachti Miyad Emori, that which I took from the Amorites, Becharbi ubekashti. Rashi says that what does it mean, Becharbi ubekashti? That we know that Shimon and Levi went and they wiped out after the whole story with Dina. We know that Shimon and Levi wiped out Shechem. A couple of years later, the Medrash says that the people of Shechem, there were some people left over. They came over and Yaakov went and he destroyed them with the sword and with the bow and arrow. Becharbi ubekashti. Comes along the Halakha Unklis. And when Unklis says, Becharbi ubekashti, he throws in crazy words. He says, Bisalosi ubaosi, with my tefillah and my yearning. Ask the great Meshul Chochma, I don't get it. Becharbi ubekashti is a sword and a bow and arrow. What does this have to do with tefillah and beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So again, let's just chazer over. Let's just review, because chazer is so important. Because you're sitting with someone, or you're at the Shabbos table, and you need a Devar Torah. You can use anything you want, obviously. But let's just make sure we have it. First question is, what is the connection between Yaakov being Nifter, Rashi in the first, Rashi, always the first Rashi, is it juiced up? Why Yaakov being Nifter, is that the Shibud? Why did the Shibud create from that? And 1B is, what was the conversation between Yaakov and the sons? His sons about Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Ba'ed. Question 2, why specifically when we give a bracha, do we say Menashe and Ephraim? We should go like when we give a girl a bracha. Baruch Hashem, can I have a lot of girls? I was like to have a couple of boys. Bracha from Chaim Kanievsky a couple of years ago. So why specifically are we giving the Imahos Sarah Rivka and Rachel and Leah, but over here we're giving Menashe and Ephraim? And lastly, why Becharbi ubekashti, a sword and a bow arrow? Uncle says it is a davening and requesting from Hashem. So what's the yisod? What's the foundation point that we could really bring into our lives in a very real way? What is that? What is that yisod? So we know that we're finishing Parshas Sefer Bereishis. The Ramban writes Nachmani, right, 1197 to 1270. The great Nachmani is a great Gadol Hador. He says that what is the name of Sefer Bereishis? That is called Sefer Yetzirah. That's considered the creation of man. And then next week we're going to get into a Sefer Shemos. That is called Sefer Geula. That is where we go into the Golus, we're going into the Mitzrayim, leaving Eretz Yisrael, because Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael to go into the Golus, and we're still in the Golus today. And how do we survive? You know, the Avos, our great Avos, Yitzchak and Yaakov, they went through such trials and tribulations. They had difficult lives, but they were able to persevere. And we still, every day in our Shemona Esrei, we say, Avram Yitzchak, we talk about the Avos. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says that if you don't have Kavon in the first bracha, you're not even Yotzei your Shemona Esrei. But we look back and then we take what we learned at Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, we take what we learned from the Avos, and we apply it into our lives because we're still in the Golus. And the obvious question is, how do we survive this Golus? We're in the Golus, Baruch Hashem. We have so much Torah. We have so much greatness going on, and we have to take advantage. One of my Talmidim, Asher Lieberman, just told me, you heard a great shmooze, about how we have to take advantage that 70, 80 years ago, what they would do just to learn one line of Gemara. So we have to take advantage of what we're learning and the growth in the Rabbon Hashem. But how do we infuse confidence within ourselves? How do we show ourselves that we could do whatever we want? How do we do that? So they tell an awesome thing. It's a true thing. I don't know if I spoke about it before. It means I did. But it's an amazing thing. We know that elephants are very big animals. Elephants are huge. Now the question is how do they get an elephant to stay where they are? So when an elephant is a little baby, they take a peg, and then they stick the peg into the floor, and they wrap him around very tight rope, and he's not able to move. And the elephant is getting fed, and he's doing his thing, and then, you know, when you start eating a lot, and when you're an elephant, right, you ever saw the movie Dumbo, right? You get big, and you've been to the zoo, there's big elephants, and the question is, an elephant is huge. Why doesn't he just break out and just run away? So the answer is that the elephant is stuck in his ways. The elephant doesn't know. All he needs to do is pick up his leg, and then he breaks through. They tell stories that elephants ran away. Why had the elephants run away? because there was once a fire and an element, animals had instincts. So they got very scared of the fire, because anyone gets scared of a fire, and they broke through the peg. And then they realized that, hey, I don't need a peg to hold me down. And they were never able, they tried catching the elephant, the elephant's a big guy, you know, a big animal, and they weren't able to stop the elephant from leaving. And there was a circus that happened, and they lost that elephant. So why can't every elephant just pick up his leg when he's like 3 or 4 tons and just break through? Why is he being stuck? So the answer is because he has a limited belief of himself. He doesn't believe that he can accomplish. He doesn't know. He's an elephant. He doesn't realize that all he needs to do is lift up his leg. And the same thing with us. We have to realize how much we could do. How much we could accomplish. You know, once a couple years ago, one of my daughters was, she was riding, she was doing the monkey bars. And I never do the monkey bars, it scares me a little. Even though I'm not scared of heights, just, you know, the whole thing, and you can fall, whatever. You gotta hold yourself. Strong people, it's very easy for them. And my daughter was on the monkey bars, and she's like, she starts screaming, she's like, I'm stuck, and she's like holding on. And I'm like, what do you mean you're stuck? Just drop down if you can't do it. She's like, no, I'm stuck. So I grab onto her, you know, similar story I have with my daughter on the slide. I grab onto her, and I'm like, listen, let's go. So she starts going from one to the next. And then little does she know that I start backing off a little. And then she's able to do the monkey bars by herself. She didn't believe in herself. She didn't believe that she could do something. Again, small thing of the monkey bars, but it's anything in life. When a person has the desire, when a person has the rutzon to do something, and he instills himself confidence, then he's able to persevere, and he's able to do such great things. You know, one time, many years ago, I took my kids to the supermarket, okay? Now, whenever you take your kids to the supermarket, you guys, you'll know in a couple of years, God willing, when you take your kids to the supermarket, even if you think that you're going to get something small and run in and out, if you're taking little kids to the supermarket, the number one thing is, don't go to the candy section. You go to the candy section, you ain't just spending, especially in Israel, you know, a candy could be like 10 shekels, it's like $3.50 nowadays, right? And you have a couple kids, it could cost you like 150 shekel just to get a couple lollipops, right? So if you pass that candy section, you're not going to win. So I'm going down the aisles. I don't know the supermarket so well. And I have a couple little kids. And I'm going and I'm walking, trying to get my things. And all of a sudden, no GPS in the supermarket. That would be a cool thing. Maybe they have them already. Well, you guys have all the different devices, you know, to figure out where you know, all your different things. I'm not going to try to make up what I know I'm talking about. So, right, so you have all these different things, and then I make a wrong turn. And my kids see the candy. So they start going crazy. Now, there's two options right now. When you guys are older, you'll see. Either you give in right away, and you give them what they want, or you let them have a fit. But the problem is that when the kid's having the fit, and they're having their fit throwing themselves on the floor, it's a little embarrassing in the middle of a supermarket. Happens. I've seen it before. Not to me, but to my friend. Right? And they're... That was a joke. Thank you. So that they're going to have a fit. But once they have their fit, and they start their fit, and then you give in to them like a minute or two after, you will always be defeated. Because they see that you give in to the fits. So therefore, you're going to have to hold strong. So you have two options very quickly. You have to decipher what to do. Either you give in to them right away, or you let them have a fit because you're ready for the battle, and then you got to hold strong. Especially if there's a couple of kids, you ain't going to win. But you got to hold strong. Now, what did I get from this little story? Because I gave in right away, and I didn't want to fight with them, and whatever, you know. Parnassus from Shamayim. So what did I see from this story? That when you have a rutzon, when you want something, you'll get it. If you don't have a rutzon and you don't have a desire, you won't get it. And we have to be able to fight that Yetzirah, and we have to realize that we could do what we want. We have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. You know, the yeshiva is about to start a major incentive. I'm so curious how it's going to turn out. God willing, it's going to be awesome. How the base medrash create a matziv, create an amazing situation of guys pounding gemaras, guys pounding hours of learning. But it's up to the guys, it's up to you guys to work through. Now, the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, we know that there are special serafim, there are special celestial angels. And it's very interesting because in Yeshayahu, when it's talking about these angels, it says that they have six wings. But in Yechezkel, it says that they have four wings. So the Gemara in Chagiga says, I don't get it. Do these angels have six wings or do they have four? Comes along the Halakha Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yudgimel on the days, and the Gemara says, really they had six in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but they have four after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Arizal, what do these six wings represent? Six wings, six words. Says the Arizal, something amazing. It represents Baruch, Shem, Kivod, Malchuso, Leolam Va'ed, which we say every single day in davening. The Vilna Gaon says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost the Kivod Malchuso. We lost because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Ribono Shel Olam in our lives, right? One of the guys started giving pre-shir, and Eitan Margaris just gave a shir about Hashgacha Pratis and about Ishtadlus and about getting involved. Do we have Bechira? Do we not have Bechira? But the whole idea is that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost the Shekhinah per se. We have Shekhinah, but we lost that seeing things so clearly. And nowadays, we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Ol Yolamed quietly. Why do we say it quietly? So the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Nun Vav that the reason why we say it quietly, it's a good question. We do it every day, right? Why are we saying it quietly? One time a year on Yom Kippur, we say it out loud. Two reasons why we say it quietly. The Gemara says that we say it quietly. Either because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, and he came down and talked Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, he didn't say Baruch Shem. However, Yaakov Avinu, we know, said Baruch Shem from the Gemara. So the Gemara says we make a pshara, and we say Baruch Shem, but we say it quietly. Then the Medrash says another reason. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the Torah, he saw the angels. And the angels were saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Olam Va'ed. So when he came down, he got very nervous. Because if he taught the nation, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Olam Va'ed, maybe the angels would be jealous. There would be some type of envy. Interesting, angels being jealous. A whole discussion just on that. However, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, to make sure that the angels don't hear, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Olam Va'ed quietly. That's why in Yom Kippur, we're like angels. We wear all white, screaming out to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's why we say it out loud. But what was going on between Yaakov and his children? What was the discussion? Yaakov wasn't sure. Are they all, right? Are all my sons, are they all on the same level? Do they all believe in Hashem? Are they going to take what I learned from my fathers and my grandfather, and are they going to continue it? Are they going to take the Shiftei Kah where we're from, and are we going to just develop it? And they said, Shema Yisrael. And Yaakov returned to them and said, Baruch Shem, because there's an idea of Malchus. There's an idea of the Ribono Shel Olam being in our lives, that there's Malchus, there's greatness. And even though we're in the Golos, and even though there's darkness, and even though we have our ups and we have our downs, and we know that we've had tough years, Klal Yisrael, and we have years, right? The Or Chaim says that we never have. We're either on the top of the world or on the bottom. There's no middle, right? We're like a moving escalator. You can't stay in the middle. Either you're going up or you're going down. I love escalators because, you know, I have my kids go on the escalator, and the best thing about it is that it's free. But after the kids go like six times, first of all, they get bored. And then like people are looking at us like, what is going on? Why is this family going up and down? Are they lost? Like, how come you're going, okay. But an escalator is moving up or is moving down. And that's Klal Yisrael, so that's a person. You're never stuck. You got to keep on going up or you're going down. But we need the Malchus. We're in the Golus. We don't want to be in the Golus anymore. We want to have Geula. Why do we make a bracha Menashe and Ephraim? Why specifically Menashe and Ephraim? So a bunch of answers. Maybe we heard some of these answers, but it's good to chazar over. Imagine, finally, we finally have a... There's so much hatred, sibling rivalry. We just saw it in the last parshas with the Shvatim and Yosef, Baruch Hashem. But again, the Gemara in Shabbos says we're still suffering. Right? The 10 martyrs were killed, Rabbi Kiva and others, because of the tough story. And I always say, my mother... right? That emotional story is that, like, we'll never really understand. There are, like, so many things in life. We'll never understand why the brothers would do such a thing, the pain to their father. But this is the first time that there was, he switched the hands and there was no comment to show, to fix up the mistake of the brothers. This is the first time there's not sibling rivalry. So we give a bracha to our children, they shouldn't have sibling rivalry. And why do we give the imahos? Because we know the Gemara Megillah, the Daf Yomi guys are going to see it soon, is that Rachel gave the signs to Leah, to show sister, to show the actus of two sisters, giving, helping each other. That's one answer. Another answer I heard from the Rosh Hashiva Mimaseret of Isaacson, he says, what does it say by Menashe Ephraim? It says, Kiruvim et Shimon. That Reuven and Shimon, that these grandsons, as Sobeitchik said, that this is the first time in the Torah that we see that a grandfather, again, there's Midrashim, and a grandfather learning with their grandsons. But what is the bracha he gives? Kiruvim and Shimon, that you have the ability to be great like my sons. The potential of a person, like we were talking about before, how great a person could be. And the third answer, which we heard before, is that even though we're in the galus, and even though things are dark, still, we could be in Menashe and Ephraim, we could still persevere. Why Becharbi Bekashti? Becharbi Bekashti, says the Meshech Chochma, is that why is a cherev, a sword, and Bakashasi, an arrow, why is that similar to Salosi, to Tefillah? Because we know, says the Meshech Chochma, a cherev is confined. With a sword, again, it's dangerous, but a sword is just limited to where it is. You could do good things with a sword, but it's confined. But a bow and arrow, salosi, the more you pull back, the farther it goes. The more a person pulls back in his tefillah, the more a person reaches out to Hashem and says, listen, Hashem, I'm nothing without you. Only you could help me. Obviously, I could do my ishtadlus, and obviously, I need to do what I can. But only you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, can help me. That is pulling back as much as you can. That is a bow and arrow. That is salosi. So we take from the Avos. We say, we look back. It's like a little child, says Rosh Weiss, where he goes into nursery school and he sees his parents and he gains so much. Baruch Hashem, I was lucky to gain, I gained so much from my parents and I keep on getting so much from my parents. A little shout out to my parents, right? And we get so much from our parents, getting so much, and we want to infuse that God willing to our children. And it's this idea that even though we're in the galus and even though there is darkness, we still have Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuso. We want the Malchus to be restored. Every single day, when someone says Kaddish, we say Yehei Shmei Rabo. That is Baruch Shem Kibod Malchuso Li'olam Vaed. And it's in Aramaic, so the angels won't get jealous. We need to put more emphasis on our Yehei Shmei Rabo. We say it so often. We could bring the Malchus back. But the only way that we're going to be able to bring the Malchus back is Becharbi Bekashti, to pull back. We learn from Menashe Ephraim that even though we're in the Golus and things are dark, we could persevere. Let's take this Sefer Bereishis, Maisa Avosim L'Abonim. We have the ability to learn from the Avos, realizing we could accomplish whatever we set our minds to. Don't be an elephant. Don't be stuck in your ways. Have the Ratzon. Have that desire, like my small children in the supermarket. Have that desire for greatness. Realize you could do whatever you want. And keep on accomplishing. Bezos Hashem, everyone should have a chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek. Parshas Vayechi, Sefer Bereishis, and everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.